Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by AstraZeneca, we had the pleasure of speaking with Shannon N. Weston, MD, MPH, FACOG, about the FDA approval of durvalumab plus chemotherapy for patients with mismatch repair deficient advanced or recurrent endometrial cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Weston discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data from the DUO-E trial, and what the future looks like for this combination in the endometrial cancer treatment paradigm. We are speaking today about the FDA approval of durvalumab for patients with dMMR primary advanced or recurrent endometrial cancer. So just to start off, what is the significance of this approval?
You know, we're so excited because prior to the last few years in endometrial cancer, we really had nothing that was FDA approved in this disease. So first of all, that's some of our big excitement. We've known for a while that checkpoint inhibition is an excellent strategy in the second line for patients that had recurrent endometrial cancer that had mismatch repair deficiency. And so what we wanted to do is try to make the most of this agent and use it earlier in the treatment paradigm to hopefully cure more patients. And so we were very pleased with the DUO-E study, which demonstrated that the addition of durvalumab, which is a PD-L1 inhibitor, to standard of care chemotherapy with paclitaxel and carboplatin provided an impressive increase in progression-free survival, around almost a 65% reduction in the risk of progression with the addition of this agent. And so we're obviously very excited about that because utilizing a strategy that's targeted based on the patient's tumor and hopefully will allow for more cures of our patients is exactly where we want to be.
Can you briefly describe the rationale and design of the DUO-E trial?
Yeah, so we have determined that paclitaxel and carboplatin is the standard of care backbone for the treatment of advanced and recurrent endometrial cancer. So DUO-E was designed in order to kind of add and hopefully be synergistic with addition of immunotherapy. And what we did was we had an all-comers population of patients with advanced and recurrent endometrial cancer, any histology. They were allowed to have prior adjuvant chemotherapy as long as it had been at least 12 months since completion of their primary therapy. And this was actually a three-arm trial. So the first arm was control arm of chemotherapy. The second arm added durvalumab to chemotherapy, as well as to a maintenance that was continued until either progression of disease or adverse events. And then we had a third arm that actually added olaparib, the PARP inhibitor, to the durvalumab in the maintenance setting. Again, trying to see if an additional targeted therapy against endometrial cancer might help us even improve progression-free survival more. The rationale for that, of course, is that we know checkpoint inhibition can work for patients with mismatch repair deficient disease as a single agent, but we have some really interesting mechanistic data that indicates that you potentially can sensitize tumors outside of mismatch repair deficiency to immune checkpoint inhibitors when you add chemotherapy, because you add, you know, damage to the tumor cells, you reduce the immunosuppressive mediators inside the tumor. And so there's a number of different reasons to add that chemotherapy to durvalumab to hopefully get benefit across all cancers. And we did see that. But what we were most intrigued by is, could we add the PARP inhibitor as well to this population and even more so sensitize the tumor cells to immunotherapy?
So then what did you see here? What were some of the key findings from DUO-E?
Yeah. So, you know, we had two primary endpoints. The first was looking at progression-free survival between the durva chemotherapy arm versus the chemotherapy alone arm. And that's really where we saw an incredible improvement in progression-free survival, very consistent with some of the other data that are available around checkpoint and chemotherapy. So there was clearly a benefit to the addition of durvalumab to chemotherapy. And that's what led to our FDA approval. We also saw in the second primary endpoint, which was looking at the progression-free survival between the durva olaparib arm and control, we also saw a statistically significant improvement in progression-free survival, again, in all comers that were treated with durva and olaparib. That group, it seems to be more driven in the mismatch repair proficient group, so the group without that biomarker for checkpoint alone. Those data were significant enough that we've actually gotten approval in Europe for the combination of durvalumab and olaparib in mismatch repair proficient disease. And we're hoping that will also get that approval here in the United States. That's still pending at this time.
So then what is the safety profile of everything going on here? So, you know, specifically the Durva plus chemo, and then also, you know, with the addition of the olaparib, are there any differences here?
Absolutely. You know, whenever we add another drug, we're going to see additional toxicity. The good news is that when we add the checkpoint, we add durvalumab to chemotherapy, actually the bulk of the kind of grade 3 or more significant side effects are driven by the chemotherapy itself. So they're kind of the standard side effects that we see in patients that are receiving chemotherapy and this patient population. So things like nausea, bone marrow issues like anemia, thrombocytopenia, that type of thing, neuropathy, which is a problem with the paclitaxel. So that was very reassuring. And actually the proportion of patients who had an immune toxicity, something we were expecting from the durvalumab, was about 15 to 20%. So not so high to make it unreasonable to pursue this combination strategy. And then when we added the olaparib, which obviously was only during the maintenance, so the chemo was already done by the time we added the olaparib, we did see some increase in grade 3 toxicity as compared to the durvalumab alone, or of course in the control group. But again, it was predominantly what we expect for PARP inhibitors. So we saw bone marrow toxicity, specifically anemia, which was the primary grade 3 toxicity we saw. We also saw a little bit of neutropenia and some fatigue. But, you know, frankly, we've been giving PARP inhibitors in clinical practice across the gynecologic malignancies and other cancers. And so we know what to do in those settings. We know how to dose interrupt. We know how to dose reduce to be able to get somebody on the right dose so that they don't have persistent grade 3 toxicity that's going to affect quality of life.
Based off of this approval and, you know, these findings and everything, where does durvalumab plus chemotherapy fit into the endometrial cancer treatment paradigm?
That, I mean, this is a new standard of care for patients with advanced and recurrent endometrial cancer that is mismatch repair deficient. There are other drugs in this space, so we do have the opportunity to use either pembrolizumab or dostarlimab as well. So this provides another option for a patient population. And as it's very well tolerated and easy to give, it is a very high yield option. To be determined in the mismatch repair proficient group, there's more data coming out around selecting which population might benefit the most from the combination strategy, as opposed to just the checkpoint alone. And I think we'll be presenting those data over the next few months. And hopefully that will help clarify further use in the group that does not have mismatch repair deficiency. We're obviously very excited. It was a long time coming. We're so grateful to all of the patients and their family members that participated and volunteered in this trial, because we couldn't have done it without them. And of course, we're quite grateful to the investigators that really made this happen in such a quick fashion to get this drug to our patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by AstraZeneca. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.